I'm ready.
That was, you sort of said that like Count Dracula.
Yeah, I did.
I'm ready.
I'm ready. Well, now it's like a weird Italian Count Dracula.
I'm ready.
I'll bring on the pizza.
No garlic.
Please, it'll kill me.
Oh, comedy gold. Welcome to Two White Girls Talk Bollywood. I'm Kim.
And I'm Katie. And we're here to talk about singing, some pretty spectacular singing, dancing, and Bollywood ghosts.
Bollywood ghosts who just kind of want to hang out in their house with no one else around, and who can blame them?
Yeah, but also fundamentally just want to be grandpas.
Just want to be grandpas, yeah, to whoever, their grandchildren or random boys who live in their house.
They're not picky.
No, definitely not. Welcome to Boot Knot.
Yeah. Yeah, what did you think?
Very cute.
Yeah.
Very sweet. It's the kind of movie that I could see being, like, a childhood favorite for a lot of people. Like, oh yeah, I grew up watching Boot Knot, and now it's one of my favorites. Yeah.
It was adorable.
Yeah.
I didn't think it would be so kid-centric.
Yeah.
And I honestly loved that it was.
Me too. Yeah.
Like, I found it entertaining. I found it very sweet. I had a great time watching it. And I think this is probably the biggest point in its favor, or I guess the biggest indication that it's enjoyable, is that I felt a little betrayed when the opening credits happened. Yep. And it was like, what did it say?
Special appearance by...
Yes, Shah Rukh Khan. And I was like, no, what? He's on the movie poster. What are you talking about? Did you just use his name and his picture to, like, drum up interest?
Lure in, yeah.
It worked. It worked for me.
It did work. Yeah, it worked for me, too.
You come for Shah Rukh and you stay for Amitabh.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, because I honestly was pulled in.
Me, too.
Within minutes, so it didn't end up mattering to me that Shah Rukh was not really in it. I loved it.
Yeah, it was really sweet. It was really charming. It was really endearing. And I agree with your Shah Rukh assessment. I feel like either his character needed to be present for more of the movie or less.
Yeah.
I was like, it doesn't work for me for him to just call home occasionally and then show up for the emotional climax.
Right. Yeah. It's like, okay, dad.
I would have loved for him to just maybe not have been in the emotional climax and to have all that stuff happen with Anjali instead of with Adi. But that's my...
Yeah. Goal. I was going to say, Anjali could have served that role.
Yeah.
Just as easily. Also, how amazing was she? Loved her. Yeah, very good.
Yeah. And we're already like halfway through identifying our cast, so we'll just say officially then too that Amitabh Bachchan plays Kailash Bhutnath Nat, who I will be calling Bhutnath for the entire recap. And then I was hoping to be able to name the actor who plays Banku.
Yeah.
Was his name Aman?
Right, because they call him Aman Siddiqui.
Yeah, so I think Aman Siddiqui is Banku, because Aman was his given name, Banku's his nickname. Okay, and the movie was directed by Vivek Sharma.
Yes.
Any other thoughts before we get into our recap?
No, I think I'll have a lot of thoughts during.
Fabulous, as it should be. So, we begin, as we so often do, on a dark and stormy night. A young couple breaks into a seemingly abandoned house just to enjoy a candlelit dinner together.
Classic start to a horror film.
It is a classic start to a horror film. Also reminded me of in Malang when they break into the house to, like, set up the Christmas decorations.
Yeah, that was a sweet moment.
Yeah, that was in Goa, too.
Yeah. Also, this woman's name is Tina.
Yes.
It struck me how often women are named Tina in Bollywood films.
Yeah.
Especially in this era, like 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah, I feel like Kareena Kapoor played a lot of Tinas.
Yeah. Ronnie Mukherjee has played a Tina.
I swear, there's a movie that they're in together where I swear one of them's named Tina.
Yeah, I think it's the Friend movie.
Friend movie with Hrithik.
One of them's definitely named Tina. She's Tina in Kahonaho. Not Kahonaho. Oh my God. Cooch Cooch Hotahe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Anyway, there are a lot of Tinas.
Tina's a good name.
And it's not that common of a name, I feel, in the States. So.
And I feel like in the States, maybe it's a nickname for something else.
Like Christina or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've known one Tina in my life.
I don't think I know any Tinas. Tinas, write in. Say hello. Introduce yourselves.
Yeah. Let's hear from the Tinas.
Yeah. Anyway, this woman, Tina.
Yep.
Keeps seeing an eerie figure lurking by the windows of this house, but her boyfriend doesn't believe her. He finally flashes a flashlight beam to prove that there's no one there, but there is someone there.
Yeah, freaky. Also, I feel like these scenes always make it clear that the boyfriend's a real jerk, that the women should leave. Like, it's always like, oh my God, you're ruining the night because you're so freaked out.
Meanwhile, he's the one who kept being like, there's a ghost that lives here. Yeah. And she's like, I think there is actually a ghost. And he's like, no, there's not. Gaslighting.
Yeah, dump him. He's trash.
Yes, this is the ultimate red flag. But yeah, so ghostly figure appears, the candles extinguish, and the smoke billows up to form the film's title, Bootnot.
Mm-hmm.
The opening credits roll as the camera spooks through the house, showing us a shadow cast on the walls and flashes of lightning and the young couple fleeing from the house.
Yes.
We then see the caretaker of the house locking up the front doors as an unhoused man named Anthony shouts that the house is his because it's haunted, so who else besides him would ever dare to live there? But we get the answer to Anthony's question of who could ever live here pretty much immediately as we meet the Sharma family. They are arriving in Goa on a cruise ship.
Yeah.
After they disembark, a bunch of cab drivers swarm them to offer a ride, but they all flee when the Sharmas give their address.
Mm-hmm.
One of the cab drivers agrees to take them, but tells them the house is haunted. Anjali Sharma, the mom of the family, says this is nonsense, but then the cab breaks down and the family has to walk the rest of the way to the house.
Yeah. I do like that Bootnot is not limited to the grounds of the house. Bootnot can go wherever he wants to go.
He does what he wants. He is a ghost unbound by any laws of ghostliness.
Yeah, yeah. He truly is magical.
He really is, yeah. At the mansion, which is, by the way, the not mansion, the caretaker can't get the door open for the Sharma family, so their mischievous young son, Bangku, smashes open one of the windows. Adi, the father of the family, asks the caretaker about the ghost, but the caretaker says it's all made up and the only reason the house is vacant is because the owner lives in America. Adi is relieved to hear this because he works as an engineer on a cruise ship and he's gone for months at a time, so he needs to trust that his family is safe while he's out of town. Adi leaves a few days later, making Bangku promise to behave himself and at least only cause trouble at school and not for his mom. If you're going to cause trouble, don't make it your mom's problem, the message.
Although I do kind of feel like Adi is very much encouraging Bangku to, like, just go wild with his prankster self. And then he's not going to be around to deal with the repercussions of that.
No. Adi's kind of just a big kid himself.
Yeah.
He's not, I would say, the most attentive husband and father I've seen depicted on screen.
No, like, just not in general the best partner.
No. Not but even he's the best partner fun. He's fun, yeah. Not even the best partner I've seen Shah Rukh play in a movie.
No.
No. Low on the list. At school, Anjali and Bangku meet the school principal, who seems to have a habit of stealing children's lunches and eating them.
Which seems like a real problem.
Yeah, seems like grounds to fire somebody.
Yeah. But everyone's like, this just happens.
It's just funny.
He's stealing food from all the children.
Yeah, it's not great.
No.
The principal sucks, but don't worry, he gets what's coming to him a little
Several times.
Yeah. The principal says that Bangku has innocent eyes, which is a weird thing to say about one of your students.
Yeah.
But Anjali says no, he is in fact a naughty boy. The principal then introduces Bangku to his class, where he immediately makes an enemy of a boy named Jojo. At recess, we get our first dance number, Hum Tohe Andi.
This is my favorite.
This is so good.
It's so good. I immediately added it to my Bollywood Jams playlist. And I just realized we've never seen just kids dancing.
No, it's really fun. Yeah.
It's so fun.
The only reason I didn't add it to my own Bollywood bangers playlist is because I don't like the sound of the children singing.
Sure. That's fair.
But I liked the song itself, and I loved the dance number. I wrote that the kids are all dressed like extras in the first Doom movie with the bandanas and the like, wrist cuffs.
There's one girl who's like wearing like a zebra striped headband with big blue peace sign earrings.
She was
crushing it. She looked amazing.
Excellent.
It was so good. And it's such a catchy song.
It is a catchy song. I enjoyed this a lot. It's, you know, you can't help but smile. It's just like ridiculous good fun.
Yeah. Also, quick shout out to Vishal Shekhar.
Ah, yes.
Who did the music.
I always enjoy their work, and this film is no exception. There were several songs that I was like, this is a good one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which for some reason I wasn't expecting. Like I didn't know who did the music. Or I was just like, this isn't going to be one where they're going to be breakout numbers that I'm going to enjoy watching.
No, it was like when this dance number started that I was like, yep, I'm in for a good time with this film. I'm on board. Bring it on.
Oh, that's great. After the dance number, we go back to the house where Anjali catches Anthony climbing in through the window and chases him around the house with an umbrella. Very alarming. Mm-hmm. He confesses to being drunk and then breaks some of her crockery before she successfully chases him out the front door. Back at school, the kids are drawing with blow pens. Do you remember blow pens?
Yes. I'd forgotten about them until I saw that happen. And I was like, oh, I loved a blow pen.
Me too.
We did so much blow pen art.
Yeah. Hard to do without the stencils that they came with. Yes. Because that goes a little bit out of control.
Everywhere. Yeah. Yeah. It really brought up my nostalgia.
Me too.
It kind of made me crave a, what do you call the bright light? Not bright light things. Did you have one of those things you'd plug it in and then when you put the little plastic.
Light bright?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I had the words switched. Okay.
Yeah.
I think of like blow pen art and like a stomp rocket and a light bright. That was it.
It was like, I did go and watch the commercial for blow pens. And I was like, I am 8 years old.
So excited.
Anyway, okay, back to the plot. As they're playing with the blow pens, Bongu plays a prank on Jojo with disappearing ink, and Jojo is so impressed that he kind of dares Bongu to throw the disappearing ink on one of their teachers. Mm-hmm. But Bongu accidentally throws it on the principal instead, and it turns out Jojo has swapped it for real ink.
Jojo's a crafty lad.
He is. He really is. This was a devious little scheme here. Mm-hmm. So the principal's very upset, and Anjali gets called to the school. She mostly finds the prank very funny, but she promises that Bongu will behave himself from here on out. Anjali then gets Bongu and Jojo to shake hands and agree to be friends, but Jojo refuses to come over to their house to play because he knows it's haunted. Bongu asks Anjali if their house is really haunted, but Anjali says that it was just the thief, Anthony, and she took care of it. Which I would argue is, like, way scarier than a ghost. Like, someone actually like breaking into your house is really scary.
Well, I find myself, now that I've seen the whole movie, just being like, what's the purpose of Anthony?
What is the purpose? Like, just for comedy, just, but it's kind of rude.
And it's kind of scary that he's just loitering around their house. And
I question that decision now as well. But Anjali does reassure Bongu that there's no such thing as ghosts, but there are angels. And she says that this is just like Bongu's grandfather, who God turned into a star so he could watch over Bongu forever, just like in Lion King.
Mm-hmm. I like the idea of telling children that.
Yeah, stars are loved ones looking out for them.
Yeah. Like, I don't necessarily believe that, but, like, it's just a sweet idea. And I'm like, there's no harm done, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
He lives in you.
He lives in me. Every time. If we don't sing that song from The Lion King, are we even recording this podcast?
I just love it so much, and I love The Lion King.
It's a beautiful moment. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. James Earl Jones, rest in peace. Maggie Smith, also rest in peace.
Yeah. We've lost some good ones.
We have. Not that she has anything to do with Lion King, but anyway. Bhangu asks Anjali what he should do if he sees an angel, and Anjali says he should befriend it. So that night, Bhangu hears a strange sound, but when he goes to investigate, he is distracted by a craving for ice cream, which is relatable.
Oh, yeah.
Before he can eat his ice cream, he sees a shadowy figure, and he calls out for his mom. But when Anjali comes downstairs, not only is there no figure to be seen, but the bowl with the ice cream has also disappeared into thin air. Mm-hmm. Anjali tells Bhangu to go back to bed, which he does at first, but then he decides he wants to investigate. He goes back downstairs and he sees the bowl, but every time he gets close to it, it moves farther away from him.
Yeah.
The bowl finally stops at the feet of an imposing figure who steps out of the shadows. Bhangu hides at first, but then he confronts the ghost, who keeps insisting that he is a ghost, but mm-hmm. Bhangu insists, no, he's an angel.
I loved this whole interaction.
It's so, so lovely and wonderful. Bhangu introduces himself and asks the ghost his name, and the ghost says that his name is not. And Bhangu's like, well, what is it? You're saying that you're a boot, you're saying that you're not. Okay, you're boot not.
Yes. That's the name of the movie.
Which is the name of the movie. So Bhutnat, which again, that's how I will be referring to the ghost, he says this is his house and Bhangu needs to leave. He tries to make scary faces at Bhangu, but Bhangu just mirrors him and then laughs.
Mm-hmm.
Bhangu then asks if Bhutnat is scared of the ghost who lives in the house and tells him that he can sleep in his room if he is because they're friends.
Yeah.
And Bhangu leaves to go to the bathroom, and Bhutnat is very confused, but also a little touched by this interaction.
Yeah, he's had people running away from him for the past however long. Two things about this. Mm-hmm. One, that wide open, like, foyer with the big staircase just really makes me think of Haunting of Hill House.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah, just ghosts everywhere.
Yeah, like, I had to kind of work to get over my initial, like, reaction.
You're traumatized by entryways with big staircases.
Which is fine. I love Hill House, but yeah. And also, if I was in a situation in the dark where there's no one else around and there's just, like, a bowl that's magically moving away from me, I'm not gonna follow it.
No, me neither.
I'll be like, that's yours now. Okay, bye.
Whoever you are, whatever demonic presence you are, you can have my ice cream.
Munja?
But I guess that's where, like, childhood and adulthood, like, truly transition.
That's true.
Is when you go from, like, following the bowl to running away from the bowl and being scared of all the things it might be.
Mm-hmm. It's like, I will guess your age based on whether you'd walk toward the ghost or away from it.
Or away from the ghost, yeah.
Well, depending on the ghost, I'd walk. I could walk toward the ghost.
That's true. You do love a ghost romance.
I love a ghost romance.
The ghost from Pahaley walks right towards him.
Oh, well, 100.
If he's arms in wide open. Khan's body.
With arms wide open.
Oh, I feel like this is one of our most, like, ping-pongy, disjointed recording sessions, and I love it.
It's great.
Anyway, after this adorable interaction, the next morning, Bhangu tells first Anjali and then all of his friends at school about his new friend, Bhutnat, the angel. Meanwhile, back at the house, Anthony shows up again, so Anjali offers to pay him to help him, to help her clean up the house. She hasn't been able to get anybody to help clean or set up the furniture because the house is haunted.
Mm-hmm.
Bhutnat interferes with this, blowing leaves around the house as Anthony attempts to sweep them and causing Anthony to break a vase. Anjali then once more chases Anthony out of the house, and then she calls Adi on the phone and complains to him about how terribly everything has been going. Adi just kind of laughs this off, but he does say that he'll think about doing something about them living in a house that's not haunted.
Yeah, this man's just, like, hanging out in the sun, doing what seems like minimal work, and, he doesn't have the right to weigh in on what she should or should not do.
Mm-mm. No, he definitely doesn't. Stay in your lane, Adi. Bhangu overhears Anjali saying that she wants to leave the house, and so he promises her that he and his new angel friend will clean up the whole house that night.
Yes.
And so when night falls, he keeps challenging Bhutnat to clean things.
Yeah.
Which is very clever.
Yeah.
And Bhutnat can't resist showing off his powers, so he accidentally helps to clean up the whole house and get all the furniture all set up. When Anjali wakes up in the morning, she is thrilled to see this, and Bhutnath realizes his mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And this leads us into a montage song, Banku Baya. Bhutnath keeps trying to scare Banku, but Banku always laughs, and in fact is more successful at scaring Bhutnath than Bhutnath is at scaring him.
Yeah. I love Banku.
I do too. He's a brave, true soul.
Yes, yes.
I also feel like not only do I say Bhutnath with like a very like American accent, but specifically like a very upstate New York accent where like there are definitely consonants in there that I'm not fully pronouncing. So that's just where I'm from coming out.
I appreciate that about you.
Thank you. After this montage, Banku is playing cricket up on the terrace in the house, and suddenly his ball starts bouncing away from him.
Mm-hmm.
He follows the ball to the top of the stairs, the entryway stairs, the scary ones.
Yep. That his mom's been telling him to be careful on, like, the entire film.
Absolutely. And Bhutnath finally appears and manages to scare Banku, who starts to stumble backwards toward the staircase. Bhutnath tries to grab Banku's hand, but he is not corporeal in this moment. Sometimes he is. Mm-hmm. In this moment, he's not. And so Banku falls down the stairs and hits his head, like, multiple times.
Yeah.
It's really rough. Anjali runs to Banku's side, and Bhutnath tries to explain what happened, but Anjali can't see or hear him.
Mm-hmm.
Bhutnath follows Anjali as she takes Banku to the hospital and attempts to comfort her in the waiting room as the doctors bring Banku in for treatment.
Yeah.
He's, like, so distraught. This was really, like, sweet and...
Yeah.
Like, heart-wrenching.
And, like, he's trying to, like, talk to people, and there's those, like, two ladies who are like, isn't that the woman who lives at the haunted house?
Oh, like, yeah.
Guess the ghost finally did its job.
So rude.
Poor Bhutnath.
Poor Bhutnath. Finally, the doctor comes out and says Banku is fine, and everyone is very relieved. Bhutnath stays with Anjali by Banku's bed all night, and when Banku wakes up, he says he slipped and fell down the stairs. He doesn't confess to the ghost experience. Mm-hmm. Anjali goes to call Adi, and Bhutnath is now able to hold Banku's hand, and they sit together, and he says that he's sorry that he let Banku fall, and he tells Banku that he doesn't know if he is an angel, but Banku is his angel.
It's such a sweet, wholesome relationship.
It is. It's really, really wonderful.
I love it.
So adorable. And now, yeah, Banku and Bhutnath, they're the best of friends. We see them brushing their teeth together, eating snacks together, and Banku helps Bhutnath get all cleaned up and put on a fresh suit so he's looking nice and spiffy.
I love the, like, nail clipping scene.
Uh-huh.
Where Bhutnath's like, no, I don't want this.
Yeah.
And Banku's like, well, you gotta. So
you gotta. Your nails are getting freaky.
Yeah.
But yeah, now he's looking all clean cut.
Mm-hmm.
Bhutnath even goes with Banku to school, where he helps pull a bunch of pranks on the principal, including making him speak gibberish in front of all of the students, and everybody laughs at him.
Yeah.
Ha ha, principal.
You should stop eating everyone's food.
You really, really should. That's just so inappropriate.
Did you notice, though, on the principal's desk, there was a photo of him, like, with a sandwich, smiling into the camera? It was like a selfie of him eating. And it was such a delightful addition to the set.
Yeah. I love thinking about them, like, taking that actor aside with the sandwich. Like, okay, we gotta get the desk photo.
Yeah.
That's all that character cares about, is sandwiches and snacks and food.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He has no depth. He's just empty stomach.
Yep.
This leads us then into another dance number, Mere Buddy, which this one's my favorite.
It's so good. I loved the energy that Bhutnath brought.
Oh, excellent energy. And I just have to commend Amitabh for being so willing to be so ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's just delightful.
I've known that I liked Amitabh for a while, but I don't think I really realized how, like, silly he can be.
Yeah.
Which I say in a positive way. Like,
yes.
Just.
We like silly.
Yeah. And, like, you see it, like, at the end, too, with the, like, blooper reel.
The bloopers,
I was just like, oh, my God, he seems like a little bit of a trickster and just, like, a joy to work with.
Yeah.
Which makes me really happy.
I know. Me, too. I love, you know, here's this man who has had this unbelievably prolific career, is like one of the most famous men mm-hmm. on the planet, and here he is like wearing a funny suit dancing with a small child.
Yeah. It's great. It's
really, really adorable. Particularly the rap was was something else.
Yeah, this also got added to my Bollywood Jams playlist.
Excellent. Good choice. After the dance number, it's sports day at school, and JoJo is dominating at all of the activities. His mom, who is Sweetu from yep. Palhonoho, cheers him on from the crowd. That's the only reason I mention her.
I like to picture this alternate universe where, yeah, like Sweetu and Frankie didn't work out. Or maybe they did, and JoJo is Frankie's son.
Yeah, that's why he's so good at all the sports.
Yes! And they moved to Goa. And yeah. then little did she know that Amon had a lookalike double out there.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yes. Okay. I was like, wait, what? And then I remembered that it's because
Amon Shah Rukh Khan's
in this
dead.
Movie. I already forgot that Shah Rukh Khan was in this movie. Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, I also did think that maybe we'd have a little bit of a Chamak Kaur situation here, mm-hmm. but we didn't.
Like, as in, like, a...
The ghost was gonna help the kid succeed in all of these physical pursuits.
Oh, yes. Yes. I also thought maybe that would happen, but there's an important life lesson to be learned.
Yes, there is.
So, the last sport that they're competing in is the hurdles, and the winner of the hurdles gets a new bike. I don't know why it's not the overall winner, but all that matters now are the hurdles.
Yeah.
Bhangu asks Bhutnot to do some magic so he can win, but Bhutnot says that's cheating and tells Bhangu to never give up. Never surrender. That's a yeah. little Galaxy Quest reference for you.
I did for a moment, because he tells this little like story about like ants going yeah. around every hurdle that's put in front of them, and I was like, are you telling him to not jump the hurdle?
I also thought that. Just go around the hurdles.
Yeah.
I don't think that's allowed. Although, isn't it true that like you don't lose points if you knock over the hurdles?
Right.
So you could just like run through the hurdles.
But it would ruin your time.
Yeah, probably slow you down a little bit.
Yeah.
But anyway, they race, Bhangu wins. Yay!
Woohoo!
This does upset JoJo, so he plots with his friends to throw Bhangu into a well.
That feels intense.
It is. And it is like a dried up well, and it's not very deep. So like whoever gets thrown in there is going to live, which is good, like, because JoJo yeah. falls in.
Yeah, that's karma.
Yes, very karmic. And yeah, also his friends just abandon him. They're yeah. just like, oh, well, bye, JoJo.
I like to believe that they were running for like an adult yeah, to get help.
Maybe.
But who knows?
JoJo doesn't think so. He starts to panic. And Bhangu hears JoJo calling for help, and he goes to the well, and JoJo confesses that he was planning to throw Bhangu in to see if Bhangu's angel would save him from the well.
Mm-hmm.
Bhangu's like, all right, that's just mean. And so he wants to leave JoJo there. But Bhutnot says that Bhangu should forgive JoJo because they're friends. And he tells Bhangu to once more hold out his hand to JoJo. And Bhutnot makes Bhangu's arm get really, really long so he can pull JoJo up out of the well.
Yes.
The principal hears that Bhangu has been making up stories about this angel. And for whatever reason, this is the last straw for him. He's like, that's not allowed in my school. So he tells Anjali that if Bhangu doesn't stop, he'll have to go to a new school.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote here that if I was sent to a new school every time I made up stories with my friends, I'd have gone to like 80 different schools throughout my childhood and adolescence. At home, Anjali yells at Bhangu for making up stories about angels. Bhangu then goes to the beach to stare sadly out at the ocean, and Bhutnot tries to cheer him up with another song, Chalo Jane Du.
Mm-hmm.
Anjali also sings to him, asking for forgiveness. It's a very sweet number.
It is. It's like, it's a love song, but it's not yeah. the romantic love song that we would normally see. It's like...
Yeah. It's like a caring friendship love.
Yeah. Very I honestly sweet. Love that there's not romantic love in this movie. Like,
no.
It didn't need it. This was great.
Yeah, no, it just, this is all about the ghost fun.
Mm-hmm.
Ghostly adventures. After this number, we get a sweet scene where Bhangu tells Bhutnot that his grandfather is a star, and he used to miss his grandfather before Bhutnot showed up. Bhutnot promises never to leave Bhangu, because Bhangu is everything to him. And this is where I started to get even more worried than I already had been, that Bhutnot was going to cross over, and yep. it was going to be sad.
I was also worried about that. I also did have the thought that, like, similar to in Titanic, when when Rose dies and it's Jack waiting for her, and I was like, Rose, you were married for, like, many decades. How does your husband feel that the man you want to spend your afterlife with is not him?
It's like your first boyfriend from when you were in your late teens.
Yeah, that you knew for, like, what, 2 days?
2 days, yeah.
Okay, sure. But also with Boot Knot, I was like, well, how does your grandfather feel about the fact that you no longer miss him because you found a new grandfather?
I had the same thought. And then also, like, how does Bootnot's grandson feel that he's, like, found a new grandson? You know, these are the questions. Bunku then says that he has a surprise for Bootnot, and the surprise is a school play about their friendship. Anjali and Jojo's moms are watching in the crowd, and Jojo's mom says that the ghost is dressed like Kalish Knot, the man who used to own the Knot Villa, and now is said to be haunting the house.
Yep.
Anjali realizes that the ghost and Bonku's angel are one in the same, which seemed... They made, like, a really big deal of this revelation, and I was like, did she not? Oh, okay, all right, whatever.
Yeah, it was just, like, she was, like, remembering every single time that Bonku was, like, there's a ghost or an angel, like, and she was, like, no, there's not.
Yeah.
And then it was, like, okay, he's been telling
maybe there
me all
is.
Along.
Yeah.
It's not a huge revelation when he's been stating facts for
no,
a while.
No, yeah, you're just realizing, like, oh, maybe I should have listened to my child. Meanwhile, Vijay Knot has returned from America, and he tells the caretaker of the house that he has a bunch of guides who are interested in buying the Knot Villa. The guys all go to the villa to look around, and they say that they have permission from Vijay. Boot Knot gets upset and makes the wind pick up in the house, which scares the guys, and they all run away.
Yes.
Bonku tells Bootnot that he should calm down, and he assures him that his family will never leave. They'll stay in the house forever. Anjali asks who Bonku is talking to, and finally Bootnot appears before her and introduces himself as Kalish Knot. He then tells the story of his family. His wife, Nirmala, made the house a home for his son, their daughter-in-law, and grandson. Vijay then leaves for America. Vijay's the son. And Nirmala wants him to stay, but Kalish says that this is a good opportunity for Vijay. But soon Vijay starts to pull away from his parents, not just physically, but also emotionally. He is now too busy and important to talk on the phone with them, and poor Nirmala ends up dying from a broken heart.
Yeah.
Vijay and his family come back home for the funeral, but Kalish says it's too late. Vijay wants to sell the house to some dudes who are going to turn it into a resort, but Kalish refuses. Vijay asks what's so special about the house, and Kalish says it holds all of Nirmala's memories. Mm-hmm. He then tells Vijay to leave. He'll stay here and wonder where he went wrong raising Vijay.
Oof.
Yeah, harsh. The fight continues to escalate. The grandson says that he wants to stay back with Kalish, but Vijay and his wife grab their son and they storm out of the house.
I also felt like in this scene, they really villainized the wife.
They really did, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, all right, that, okay, all right.
Yeah, she. Yeah, we don't know enough about her to know what's going on.
Make her this terrible of a person.
Yeah, it seems unnecessary.
Like, she seduced your son away from you to America. It just, felt a little heavy-handed.
When they had made a point of showing that it was Kalish who, like, encouraged him to go.
Yes.
Yeah, very weird. But yeah, Vijay and his wife, they grab the son, they leave the house. Kalish tries to follow them, but he trips and falls down the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
We see him run after the car, begging them not to go, but the car drives off anyway. Kalish goes back inside and then sees his body lying at the foot of the stairs.
Yeah.
Which would be a really upsetting thing to see.
Yeah. I mean, you've just dealt with, like, the emotional turmoil of your son leaving you, and then you're dead.
Now you're dead, yeah.
It's a bad day.
And, like, not only are you dead, but you're a ghost now.
Yeah.
You're, like, not even, like...
peacefully dead.
At peace with your wife.
Yeah.
Yeah, not great. So, back in the present, Bootnot says that he's been haunting the house ever since, not letting anyone stay until his angel Bonku came and made him forget that he's not alive. This is also, I was like, it's only been, like, maybe a couple of years?
Yeah.
A because, like, we don't know actually how long it's been, but, like, Vijay doesn't look any different.
No, I did think that it was going to be, like, 40 or 50 years. Like, yeah. I assumed at first that the man that we were seeing who's the owner of the Knott Villa, I was assuming that was his grandson.
I also assumed that, yeah. And then with the names, I was like, okay, maybe, like, he changed his name or something. But, like, no, it's only been a few years.
Yeah.
It's been such an acute haunting that the rumors have spread very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so Anjali tells Bhutnath that he should forgive his son, but Bhutnath says that he never will, and he and the Sharma family are going to live in the house together forever. Then Adi comes home, and he gets caught up to speed on the whole ghost situation, and then he and Anjali go and talk to a Hindu priest.
Mm-hmm.
And this man tells them to perform an end-of-life ceremony so Bhutnath's soul can be at peace.
Yeah.
Adi says that only a son can perform the ceremony, so he goes to talk to Vijay. Adi and Vijay then have a whole long conversation about how Vijay doesn't want to do the ceremony, he doesn't see the point of it, and says that Adi can do the whole thing without him.
This is when I'm just like, okay, Vijay is a really bad son.
He is a bad son, yeah, like... He's clearly still, like, harboring these horrible feelings towards his dad. And it's like, your dad died, like, before you had even left the country to go back to America. Like, it would not have been hard for you to...
Just do the... Yeah.
Do the ceremony, but whatever. As we often say, then there wouldn't be a movie, so...
That's so true.
So Adi explains to Bhanku that this ceremony will make Bhutnath a star angel. So Bhanku excitedly tells this to Bhutnath. Bhutnath is scared because he assumes, as I think we all did, that this would then mean that he's going to cross over to whatever's on the other side, to the afterlife, whatever that might be. But he tells Bhanku that he'll watch over him every day and makes him promise never to abandon his family and always to forgive people. They perform the ceremony the next day and Bhanku brings Bhutnath down to watch. Then Vijay arrives, and for a moment it seems like he sees Bhutnath, but he's just wandering around the house remembering his life there, remembering his parents, and beginning to get emotional.
Yeah.
He goes down, and he does end up becoming a part of the ceremony. Bhutnath cries, and then a soft breeze stirs his hair. He backs away from the ceremony, then looks back at Bhanku as he disappears into a beam of light. The ceremony ends and Bhanku calls out to Bhutnath and asks his parents where he went. Adi says Bhutnath is at peace, and Bhanku gets upset because his parents lied to him and made Bhutnath go away. Which would be very sad. His surrogate grandfather.
Yeah, that's traumatic. Like, that's something you're going to bring up in therapy later.
Yeah. We can add Bhanku to the list of children from Bollywood movies who need therapy as adults.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a growing list. Vijay apologizes and says that the house will be theirs forever. Bhanku then runs out onto the terrace and looks up at the stars, where he sees Bhutnath appear in the sky and then transform into a star himself.
This is very Lion King.
It is, yeah. He's just up there in the sky talking to him.
Yeah.
Bhanku sobs and calls Bhutnath to come back to him. Very sad.
This did, yeah, this kind of broke my heart.
It broke my heart, too.
Yeah.
And then the next day, we see Bhanku sadly leave his house to go to school when who should appear but Bhutnath?
How? <He's> Why?
He says he can break free of life, but never from Bhanku's love, and he'll come back whenever Bhanku calls for him. But he makes Bhanku promise never to tell anyone, then turns to the camera and says to the audience that we can't tell anyone either.
Wink.
And then the screen says, to be continued.
Yes. That's mighty convenient.
Yes. And then we get the bloopers. It's very cute. Everyone's having a good time. I knew there was a sequel.
Yeah.
I didn't think that this movie was going to end with Bhutnath just, like, back.
Yeah. It felt like a very wholesome place to end with, like, okay, you've had this meaningful connection, but Bhutnath has to, like, go be with his wife now. Because, again, I picture him going and being with his wife and being like, oh, sorry, actually, I met this kid who's now more important to me than you are, so.
I gotta go back to him.
Gotta go
back. Hang out with him for a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, still super fun. Still very sweet really fun. And enjoyable. Yeah. Yeah.
That did just remind me of, have you seen Jack Frost?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Where, like, their dad's, like, a traveling musician, and he dies in, like, a blizzard. But then
and he turns into a snowman. Yes. Yes.
And so they play with this snowman for, like, a while, and then the snow starts to melt because, like, winter's over. Mm-hmm. And it's awful, but it's a metaphor for grief and, like, yes. You know? And, like, that ended with their dad going, oh, he's gone.
Yeah, he goes on to the great beyond. Yeah.
Right, and that's Gosh, sad, but it's, like...
that movie.
I think it's helpful as a child to have movies like that.
Yes. Yeah.
To help you cope with, like, feelings of grief and fears of death and all of that.
I agree. You know, I can think of movies from my childhood that certainly helped me deal with difficult situations because while they were fun and silly and goofy, they were rooted in reality in such a way that made it seem like, okay, yeah, life has these fun, goofy, happy elements, but then also there's reality. And don't worry, those two things aren't gonna, like, cancel each other out, but they are both there. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's just a thought. Because this is very clearly meant to be a children's movie and to, like, instill certain life lessons and have fun while doing it. And I think it succeeds in that. But I think they missed an opportunity there.
I agree. They undermined their message a little bit with the ending. And obviously, they still could have had a sequel. Like, nobody was going to get upset if they were, if, like, Boot Not 2 starts with, like, he's back.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I think they could have had a nice conversation with, like, his parents.
Yeah.
Comforting him and... Yeah.
That's what the emotional core of the movie should have been. Like, that's what the emotional climax should have been instead of...
Yeah.
The weird conversation between Adi and Vijay, two characters who we barely saw throughout the movie and, like, didn't care about.
Yeah. But no, I really enjoyed it. It was worth the, like, $4 that I paid to rent it.
Yeah, it was worth the $7 I paid because first I rented it on Amazon Prime where the subtitles were all wonky.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
But yeah, it's fine. It was worth it.
It was worth the $7.
It was worth $7, yes.
Wonderful. Yeah, maybe next year we'll watch Boot Not Returns.
Yeah, yeah, that could be fun.
We should also add Phone Boot to our list because that was showing up as, like, a recommended.
You know, that got shockingly better reviews than I was expecting it
really?
To. Really? It's, I think it has, like, above a 5.0 on IMDb.
Wow.
So, yeah. When I say shockingly better, I don't mean good.
No,
I
but, like.
Not as bad as I thought it would be.
And it's Katrina Cave, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll put that in our back pocket.
We always like a Katrina Cave flick. But for now...
We do.
What did you learn about this week?
Let's talk about some fun Amitabh facts.
Great!
Because I love this guy.
Yeah, he's a lovable guy.
Love this guy. We really need to watch some more films with him. I'm just looking forward to the future. It's very
bright. Yeah.
The future of Amitabh's past is very bright.
That's exactly what I was just trying to articulate, yes.
Yeah.
Our future rooted in his past.
Exactly. So I have 12 fun facts, because 12 seems like a good number.
I agree.
Number one. Mm-hmm. Amitabh has played double roles in more films than any other actor.
Wow.
Including a triple role in the 1983 film Mahan.
A triple role?
Yeah.
That is wild.
It's like Princess Switch 3 up in here.
Yeah. They just keep adding more of them in.
Yeah, so I'm like, okay, noted. We should add that to the list.
For sure.
Because I also just like that trope in the 80s. It's always fun to see how they play that off with practical effects.
Yes.
Number two. While living in Calcutta, Amitabh was rejected by All India Radio as a radio jockey because they thought his voice wasn't suited for the radio.
I'm sorry. That man's voice is suited for nothing but being listened to by as many people as possible.
How funny is that? That, of course, his, like, baritone is his trademark now.
Yep.
So I was like, well, that's hilarious. Number three. He was the first choice to play the role of Mr. India in the 1987 film Mr. India, but he turned it down and the role went to Anil Kapoor.
Oh.
Now, I was like, what is Mr. India? Let me tell you.
Okay.
Mr. India is a superhero film about a violinist who gets the power to become invisible. Even better, it also stars Sridevi and Amrish Puri.
Okay, why didn't we watch that for our
I don't
superhero
know,
movie
Kim. We
unit?
didn't know it existed.
Well, we'll have to add that to the list too.
Right? I'm like, okay, I love all three of those people.
I know,
I love
me
a
too.
Superhero flick.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, definitely. Wow, I'm really excited about that.
Yes. Also, 2 years later, like, you know it's good because 2 years later in 1989, remakes came out in both Tamil and Kannada.
Great. I would watch those too.
Yeah, let's just go. Let's do a lot of Mr. India.
Mr. India times three.
Woo. So there's that. Number four, Amitabh was the first Asian actor to have a wax model at Madame Tussauds in London.
That's so cool.
Yeah. I mean, he deserves it.
He does deserve it, yes.
Does it ever make you sad? Like, it makes me sad that a lot of white people in the States don't know who Shah Rukh Khan is.
Yeah.
But it might make me sadder that they don't know who Amitabh Bachchan is, you know?
Yeah, I think it's definitely sad. Both of those facts are very sad. It's sad for me to think about how much of my life I spent not knowing who any of these people were.
That's so true.
But yeah, I mean, I think about the fact that Amitabh was it. Have we talked before about the fact that he was in The Great Gatsby, the one with
Robert Redford?
The one with Leonardo DiCaprio.
He was in the one with Leo?
Yeah.
What?
He's in like one scene. He's just like some guy who they're like, this guy's rich and got money. And then he's like, yeah, I do. I don't remember the movie.
Oh my God.
But yeah.
Well, I've actually been in a bit of a Gatsby phase in my life right now. So I'll
so
have to watch it.
Something to experience. Yeah.
Only
that
if
can
I
be...
don't have to pay for it.
That's the 13th fun fact. That's the baker's dozen.
I like that. That's a yeah, just throw it in there.
Yep.
Added flavor. Mm-hmm. Number five, his favorite screen name is Vijay, which he has used in over 20 movies.
That's cool. I like that. It's a good name. I think Vijay means like victory.
Ooh.
So that's like a good, like powerful, like, yeah, Vijay.
Yeah, yeah. It'd be interesting to know, like, I bet that Shah Rukh's is Raj. Or if that's not his favorite, I bet he's been Raj more than he's been... or
anything else.
Yeah. I feel like he's been Raj a couple of times.
He's been Raj a lot. Yeah, that's totally true. Yeah.
It's just interesting to think about. Number six, Amitabh's ambidextrous.
Oh, that's very impressive.
Yeah. So, cool. Number seven... he began his career in films in 1969 at the age of 28 as a voice narrator in a film called Bhuvan Shome.
Oh, cool.
Yep.
He's got a good voice, despite what the Calcutta radio says.
Exactly. By the way, his birthday is October 11th, which will have happened only 4 days prior to this episode's release.
Excellent. So happy birthday, Amitabh.
Happy birthday, Amitabh.
How old is he? 80-something?
I think he'll be 82.
Okay.
Happy birthday, Amitabh. You're the
happy
greatest.
Birthday. Yeah, we love you.
I would love if you and Tom Hanks would meet.
Sure.
Because that's the only, like, when I think of, like, who's our Amitabh, I'm like, it's Tom Hanks. You know?
Yeah, sure. I don't think that's wrong. I always think of Amir Khan and Tom Hanks in the same.
Oh, yes.
Because I've compared
them
so many times. Now I've convinced
similar.
Myself that that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, but I do also see your point.
Yes. Like, you know, this country's dad.
Yeah.
Or grandfather, whatever the case may be. Yeah. Anyway. Okay. Number eight. Amitabh originally wanted to become an engineer and join the Indian Air Force.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that did not happen.
Nope.
Number nine, he starred in 12 films before his first big hit, Zanjeer.
That's a lot of movies.
It is.
Took a lot of building up to that.
Yeah, and the actual wordage was 12 flops, but aww. I was like, we don't know that they were flops. I'm not going to pass that judgment.
Yeah, even if they were box office flops, they could still be good movies.
Exactly.
We know that's not always an accurate judgment.
Exactly. Number 10, Amitabh's actual surname was Srivastava, but his father, a famous Hindi poet named Harivansh Ray Bachchan, adopted Bachchan as a pen name, and the rest of the family changed their names as well.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's a fun fact. I mean, right? These are all fun facts, but that one in particular.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. Yeah. Number 11, Amitabh has been awarded France's highest civilian honor, Knight of the Legion of Honor, which he received in 2007 for his exceptional work in world cinema.
Fabulous.
Right?
Well-deserved.
Yes.
Good decision, France.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And France knows good cinema.
Yes, they do.
So, there you go.
I say that like I know. I've seen like two French movies and they weren't my favorites.
Does Chocolat count as one?
I don't think so.
I've seen zero then, but they just feel like they know movies or they pretend to know movies.
I think, yeah, that's maybe more what it is. We're not knocking the French.
No.
Like, I think the type of movies that France creates and the type of movies that we have made it very clear that we gravitate towards are in different camps of cinema.
That's fair.
So, yeah.
And number 12, our final fun fact. Mm-hmm. The name Amitabh means unending brilliance.
What a perfect name for this man.
Right? And it makes sense when you think about the fact that his father was a poet.
It does, yeah. Beautiful.
So that's some stuff about Amitabh.
I love knowing all of those things about Amitabh. You know, and we've obviously been talking about wanting to watch some of his older mm-hmm. movies for a long time, and I would love for us to do that. I would also, we definitely need to watch Kabhi Khushi Kabhi Gham.
I literally was gonna say, I feel like we should watch that in November.
We should.
In That's celebration of Shah Rukh's birthday month.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that'll come soon, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Excellent. Oh, wonderful. Well, thank you for doing all that research and sharing those wonderful facts.
Oh, yes. I really, really worked for that one. Yeah.
You dug deep.
Because I was going to give you a quiz, and then it was literally like, when did Amitabh's mom die? And I was like, that's too much. That's I thought sad. We were going to do some fun, like, oh, let me just guess. But
yeah, I don't think I would have gotten any of the answers correct.
No. Well, maybe.
No. Unless you've given me like some real softballs.
I only got like two questions in, and then I was like, this isn't it. Nope. This is not it. But that's fine.
That's fine.
So, Bollywood news.
I don't have any Bollywood news, but I wanted to share what is, I guess I could say, like, personal South Asian cinema-related news.
Okay.
So, Katie, do you remember we bonded once over the fact that we had both attempted to watch this movie, and neither of us had been able to get through, like, more than a tiny bit of it. Do you remember this?
Oh,
the title is Radhe Shyam.
Is that the palm reader one?
Yes.
Kim, I watched like at least half of it.
You watched at least half of it?
If it wasn't, yeah, like there was like the whole thing with like the ship and the storm. When does that happen?
I don't even know.
Okay, I feel like no. I
did you watch
like
the whole movie?
I don't know. I might have gotten like halfway or three quarters. I got a decent amount of the way through it because I was watching it on a plane.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, do you know who the leading man is?
Is it Prabhas?
It's Prabhas.
Well, because the reason I watched it was because I was like, that man's attractive, and I wanted to watch a Telugu film.
Uh huh.
And then I was like, this is bad. But I kept thinking, also,
Netflix only has a Hindi dub, which is interesting. Because the movie is like part in Telugu, part in Hindi.
Got it. But I think I was specifically looking to try to get some South Indian cinema under my belt. And I chose that one. And it's bad.
Well, so I only watched the first, like, 5 minutes of it when I tried to, or 10 minutes, okay. I think. And okay. I was like, this is bad and I don't think I can take it. And also at the time I was like, yeah, because same thing. I mean, like, Netflix knows me and it shows me pictures of bearded men when it wants me to watch something. And so I was like, sure, yeah. And then I was like, you know what? No, not this guy. He's not the one.
Yeah, but he is.
But he is. And so I was looking through Prabhas's body of work, like, what are some things that I can watch, other things that he's in? And I saw this and I was like, okay, well, I'm going to give it another chance. And I've watched the first like three quarters of it.
Okay. Yeah. Kim, I just looked it up to see how far I got. I have 35 minutes left in the movie.
Okay, so you watched more of it than I have now watched as a Prabhas fan planning to watch the whole thing.
I got like an hour and 40 minutes into it, and finally I was like, I can't. I can't, why am I sitting through this?
Yeah.
Oh, but he's so cute.
He is. And the other, so I will say, I am enjoying it. I think I am enjoying it more now because I've seen more Telugu films. And I'm not saying, you know, nobody come at me. I'm not saying that this is like a good representation, but there is right. a certain amount of over-the-topness, ridiculousness mm-hmm. in a specific flavor that I've noticed in Telugu movies more so than in other industries.
Okay.
And I feel like I've gotten acclimated to that.
Yeah.
And so I'm enjoying the movie now than I think I would have if I had tried to watch more of it even like a year ago.
Yeah.
So there are definitely moments in it that I've been like, oh, that's kind of cute. I like that. That's kind of funny. But yeah, mostly it's really, really bad. But Prabhas's hands are beautiful.
Yeah.
We
like hands.
We do. And I just like keep getting like blown away by how beautiful this man's hands are. Like it just every time he's like holding someone's hand to read their palm, I'm like, this is what I'm here for. It's just Prabhas's hands.
So you haven't gotten to like the ocean storm situation?
I don't think I have seen an ocean storm, no.
They're like on a boat. There's like a boat.
Yeah, I don't think anyone, there's been a lot of train activity, but yes. I don't think anyone's been on a boat yet.
All right, there's definitely going to be a boat.
Okay. Spoiler alert.
Absurd. Spoiler. But I think that was when I was like, I'm done. I can't do this anymore.
That was the final straw. We'll see if I make it past the boat scene.
Yeah. But thanks for reminding me about that because I had forgotten. And it just felt like such a waste of a plane ride.
Yeah, I'm surprised that you made it that far into it. I thought...
I think it might have been all I had downloaded to watch or something.
Oh, you're like, it's this or nothing. It's this or stare out the window.
Yeah.
That's funny.
That is, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, great. Thanks for that update.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Prabhas watch.
Yeah, Prabhas watch. That could be a new segment.
It could be, yeah.
Anything else you'd like to share for Bollywood news? Okay. Me neither.
I'm sure there's things going on, but also we're recording this episode like 2 weeks before it's going to come out.
We are, yeah, we're far in advance because, you know, vacations happen and mm-hmm. we're getting our content out. Cool. Pluggables.
Yeah.
Follow us at Two White Girls Talk Bollywood on Instagram. I try to post once a week. Sometimes I fail. And that's okay.
You do great. You do great work, Katie.
Thank you. Feel free to interact with us however you would like to on Instagram. We always appreciate hearing from you, even if it takes a while to respond.
Yeah.
So there's that. Also, please consider subscribing to us on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. You can also consider leaving a rating or review on said podcast platform. Mm-hmm. And as always, thank you so much for listening.
Indeed. And join us as well on YouTube and Spotify, where we keep our Bollywood bangers playlists. We add the songs that we love from the movies that we watch to those playlists, and we link them in our episode descriptions, as well as in our Instagram posts. And yeah, maybe I just won't specify a day when they happen.
Yeah.
They're there. You'll see
they're
them.
They're sometimes on Tuesdays, and sometimes they're not.
And that's fine.
That's okay. We're just doing our best. This is a... What do we call it? Not a love project. This is a
passion project.
Passion project. We're yeah. not trying to get anything from this. We're just
no. We're just two white girls who want to talk about Bollywood.
Exactly. And that's what we're doing. And some people decide they want to listen to us. And some people probably really hate us. And yeah. that's okay.
And we understand both of those things.
Yeah. Yup. So cool.
Anyway.
Anywho. Next week.
Mm-hmm.
We are watching a somewhat new release, I think within the last, like, 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
No, it's been longer. Well.
It's always hard to know because things come out in theaters, then they come out on Netflix, and we're not sure, like, what the exact time frame is. But we are going to be watching Laputa Ladies.
Yes.
Which we had been interested in watching. I've actually already seen it and loved it, but... Specifically because it was just announced that it is India's pick for an international film to go to the Oscars this year. So we don't know yet if it's been nominated for Best International Picture. We'll keep our fingers crossed. But mm-hmm. We wanted to watch it and talk about it because of that.
Yeah, I am really excited because I have not watched it. So mm-hmm. Let's go.
It's wonderful. You're going to love it.
Good. I'm very excited.
Our plot description on IMDb is the misadventures of two young brides who get lost from the same train. From mistaken identities to laugh-out-loud escapades, the ensuing chaos guarantees laughter galore and heartwarming moments.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That sounds fun.
And very sweet.
The Netflix synopsis, because this is available to watch on Netflix, just says, in this comedic satire, a groom mistakenly brings home the wrong bride.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
So I like yours better. That sounds great.
I do too. It's definitely, it's a very like rich movie. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
it hits kind of all the right notes and just feels good to watch it. And I like when movies like that are the ones that get recognition. And again, we don't know if the movie's going to be nominated for an Oscar. Not that it matters. It's still amazing. But like, just to even have it be mentioned kind of in the running for that is exciting.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I'm excited about it. And, you know, I like what we did with October. We had some spooky. We have some not spooky. It's a good mix.
Yeah.
Great. Looking forward to it. It's going to be a little bit of time for us before we record again, but the listeners won't notice a difference.
No, we'll see you again soon.
Yes. So watch Laputa, ladies. Enjoy it. And until next time, remember, Bollywood doesn't need us.
No.
But we need Bollywood.
Yeah, and ghosts to teach us important life lessons.
Important life lessons, and also sometimes be our grandpas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Bonus points if it's Amitabh.
Yeah. I would choose him as my grandpa ghost any day.
Who wouldn't?